Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, I'm sitting in front of two lads who are bedecked in a particular type of outfit that will become apparent in a moment. They're responsible, not quite these guys, but the band that they love for some of the biggest global hits of the last 20 years. One More Time, Digital Love, Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger, Around the World, and Get Lucky. And I'm talking, of course, about electro music duo Daft Punk, who are as well known for their mysterious robot image as they are for their music. And we haven't the actual Daft Punk in with us this morning. That would be just ridiculous. But we're joined by the next best thing, Paul and Connor, from a Daft Punk tribute act called Daft Funk. Good morning, lads.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
Well, this is great because you really have the costumes down to a T. It's very impressive. I wasn't expecting something so authentic looking. So why did you go for Daft Punk?
When we first started it in 2007, it was very much a pop-up thing to see if it was a viable project. We did a show in Dublin, sold out the show, and then started to do it year on year.
Yeah.
And as it got more popular, we decided to take a risk and kind of bring it on tour more regularly. And really, we've had a little bit of a break now for the last 6 months, but before that, we were more or less doing shows every 2 weeks.
And constantly in demand.
Constantly, yeah. Between the UK, between here, we've done a few bits in Europe as well, so
okay.
The show is incredibly popular, and we like to think we do the best job at imitating the lads themselves.
The guys, because Daft Punk, I'm not being cynical or smart about it, but I always thought they were just two lads in helmets with a laptop, and they're the greatest spoofers of all time. Like, in the sense that, okay, it's one thing pulling the music together, but a gig for them, it could be like Riverdance. It could be 50 Daft Punks running around with good helmets. Like, so what are they as a concept?
I think part of the appeal of the act is the anonymity, and you know the fact that very rarely are they seen in public, their faces seen in public. Whenever they make public appearances, it's in the helmets, and we try to emulate that as best we can. Whenever we're setting up a stage or whatever, we'll do so in a balaclava. We'll try to avoid their faces.
Or you'll go for it, will
you? And really, today is the first time that people actually, you know, widely have known that we are Paul and Connor.
Yeah.
We like to keep that, you know, our identities as, you know, there's a certain element of our friends in Dublin who know we are who we are.
But why do you want, like, as a tribute act, why are you keen to keep your identity?
I just think it adds to the appeal.
Yeah, it's just the whole aspect of it. No one knows. I have friends, sure, even.
Who wouldn't know what to do for
now?
Yeah.
And find out you're Daft Punk? What?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. So why did you alight on these guys as a tribute act and not, say, the Beatles or the Stones or something?
Well, you know, when we first did it in 2007, no one else was doing it. They were still really popular. We were both professional DJs, so...
So you're into their music anyway?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
we were mixing their music and doing it all before we did the tribute, and we decided to get together and give it a go. The first helmets we had is nowhere nearly as advanced as the ones you see now. They were literally motorcycle helmets with glow sticks attached. And once we realised the show was viable, we started investing, and everything you see on stage is mixed properly, is mixed live. We're DJs by profession, but we just throw these helmets on and do a show, and it seems to be really popular.
Well, what is the demographic for a Daft Punk fan? Is it kind of dad rocky now at this stage, or is it 20-something? Where would their fan base be?
You know, we do everything from college shows for 18-year-olds who are maybe a little bit, you know, only know the newer stuff, but, you know, I would say our key fan base is probably kind of 23 and up. You know, we've had 50-year-olds come to our shows, and we make an attempt at the end of every show to get out and take some photos with the fans and stuff like that. So, because, you know, although, you know, we're not pretending to be anyone, you know, everyone knows that it's a tribute act, it's not the real thing. But they've been good enough to pay the money, see the show, and the least you can do is go out.
So where would you play in Dublin, for example? I'm just trying to get a handle on the venue wise.
We're launching a new tour. We launched it yesterday, actually. It's called the One More Time Tour, and our first date is going to be July 10th in the Button Factory.
Oh, so Button Factory will be the sort
standard
of venue you'd be filling.
Yeah, exactly.
And then in Galway, for example, you'd be in
Galway. We've done Ocean Kelly's Galway. And Electric Circus. Electric Garden.
Yeah.
We do Kelly's. It's a smaller, more intimate venue, but we have a very good colleague up in Galway who's been very loyal to us to the beginning. So we do the smaller shows, and we constantly sell like Kelly's, which I think has now changed ownership. I don't know what.
Okay, but that's a busy venue for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The authenticity I was referring to earlier on, you know, the two helmets, they are a cross between, as you mentioned, like a motorbike helmet and a stormtrooper from Star Wars, but with a bit more bling.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially. So do you get them custom made?
Yeah, they're both custom made. They got, I think your one is Italy and my one is from America. Yeah.
Right, okay.
But this is version 6, what you're seeing now.
What does that even mean?
The first version was obviously the motorcycle helmets.
Of yours.
You're
evolving.
So we're constantly evolving. Whenever we see a better model, we talk to our bank account manager and see what we can do.
So are they expensive? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. This latest batch is $3,000 for the two. So it's not a cheap hobby.
$3,000 for the two. So $1,500 a piece. Is that what you're saying?
Probably in helmets alone, we're probably nearly close to $10,000.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we...
$10,000.
Yeah, we take this seriously.
So it's, I gather. But you are taking it seriously.
Yeah, I mean,
I can see it in your voice. You're very... you're obviously into it.
Yeah.
And you love your music and this is your thing. What about Daft Punk, the band? Are they aware of you? Have you heard of any...
I work as kind of a, you know, in the entertainment industry, so I would know kind of agents and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I've never directly heard of them refer to us or anything like that, or any agents. To be honest with you, there's a couple of guys in America and a couple of guys in Australia. So the market for Europe is very much kind of, we're at the forefront for the European market, but the rest of the world, there is other people out there. Whether they know of us, I don't know, but hopefully they appreciate what we do rather than have a problem with it.
I see what you mean, which is better.
We did do a show with Daft Punk's manager before a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We didn't say who we were. Kept that quiet.
Some years ago, Busy P, his name was. He was playing in the Button Factory, and he saw us, and he didn't object. So we assume that's okay.
Well, you're taking that as a tacit understanding that we're all men here, and there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. I must ask you about "Get Lucky." Of course, that song's played off the radio for probably about 18 months. Is that a song that drives you guys around the twist, or is the demand for it so intense that there's no getting away from it?
There you go.
Well, we have a couple of different versions of it. We've done our own kind of remixes to kind of freshen up hearing it for so many times. You don't really get sick of it when you kind of get a live audience in front of you and they react to it.
We have a very unique way of mixing stuff. We use a lot of kind of their older materials on top of their newer materials.
Okay, so there's something fresh all the time going on. Yeah. It's again evolving, like the helmets. There's always something new being brought to the gig. So for the gig, are you guys just standing there, you know, mixing? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely, no problem. The first time we did this, it was pre-recorded because we didn't know how, logistically speaking, how it would work with helmets on, could we see the decks, etc., etc. But after we decided to take this seriously, we committed to doing all our shows live. So all the mixing is literally like a DJ in a club. It's all done live. There's no pre-recording.
So you're standing there with the helmet.
We have built-in headphones in the helmet. So we can actually do all our work as if we were just DJing.
But you don't dance or move around, rather than do.
No. I mean, sometimes we'd interact with the crowd. You know, if it's a good crowd,
you'd
again,
speak to them.
We don't talk. Kind of. This is probably the first time anyone's heard our voices. But
I feel kind of weirdly privileged.
Thank you, Ryan. We feel really privileged.
There's three of us in this.
Yours is probably more justified than our privilege.
I'll take that. Do you have, at the risk of sounding like your mother, do you have real jobs?
Yes.
Do you?
We'd prefer not to go into them, but we both do. We both work in kind of marketing and event management. So
I mean, it's Clark Kent stuff. So you finish your take your glasses off, you toss your hair and head out, get the sequin jacket and the helmet on.
Yeah.
Into the phone box. I mean, it's quite a transformation because the jackets are quite bling, but it's sequin. I mean, it's Liberace stuff.
Yeah.
Black shirt, black tie, and then what looks like the Star Trek, you know, hailer thing on a piece of wire around your neck.
It's the pyramid. So obviously a big thing for Daft Punk in their last tour was the stage that they actually occupied was a pyramid,
right?
And they sat in the middle of the pyramid playing the show. So in our show in the Button Factory on July 10th, we're actually building a pyramid stage, and it will all be the closest experience that you can actually get to Daft Punk, because they're not going to be touring anytime soon. So we enjoy filling the void. avoid.
And will you be touring the country this summer then? Are you on the move?
Yeah,
everywhere.
Absolutely.
I see you've got, you're on online at least. There's an email. You're on Facebook, Daft Funk.
Daft Funk, honestly. Yeah, on Facebook, yeah.
So you can...
We'll be posted. The first show we've announced now is obviously the Dublin show in July, but we'll be confirming some other dates throughout the summer and then doing a small circuit. So we've been doing this for kind of 7 years, and I think, you know, we're getting close to calling it, but we'd like to give it one more go. Definitely.
Really?
And that's why it's called the One More Time Tour.
Time until the next time.
Well, let's see what happens after this one.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I see what the demand is like and everything like that. So do you have to sort of, not lie, but do you have to kind of play with the truth with certain friends of yours when you're saying you're going down the country for a job?
Our closest friends would probably know at this stage. In fairness to them, they're some of our biggest supporters.
And
they
colleagues?
Come to our shows. Colleagues. Again, we're careful about who we tell. You know, you don't want to get too much out there. And again, I think that's the difference between us and some of the other acts around the world is that, you know, we like to keep things very close-knit. And, you know, again, the anonymous nature to it is just part of the appeal for us.
I'm told that women go mad for Daft Punk after a gig. I'm not quite sure if that's true or not. And equally, obviously, does it follow then for a tribute act?
My fiance is listening.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to hand this over to Connor.
Yeah, Connor, I'm told that Daft Punk...
We've had some interesting ones.
Go on, elaborate.
We were up in Galway, and again, as I was saying to you, we like to get photos with people after the shows, and
some wandering hands.
Yeah, you get some bum squeezing and such behind the camera, but you know, it's all in good fun. We commonly get kisses on the helmets.
On the helmets.
Lipstick does not corrode the chrome.
I think that thing's been kissed more than I have.
Yeah. Want to get rid of that helmet? Your fiance's just been on to say that she's now your ex-fiance. So that's sort. Anyway, Paul and Connor, the anonymous men to an extent, obviously, behind Daft Funk. Thanks for coming to see us. We're going to have to get a picture now outside because your outfits are too good to miss. We need to put that on our Facebook page, which we can. There is an email, daftfunk.live@gmail.com, but probably easier just to go to your Facebook page, which is Daft Funk. It's been good to talk to you.
Absolutely. And sorry, Ryan, just one last plug. So our show in Dublin is July 10th and tickets are on Resident Advisor now. And we'd love to see everyone in the Button Factory in Dublin.
Okay, well, best of luck.
You've got a free ticket if you'd like.
I cannot. Listen, I don't know. I think you've wrecked the magic now that I know what you look like. Thanks a million. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.
We'll take some music.